Many of you will probably remember a few years back when there were various commercials on television promoting certain items, and they used the catchphrase, "The possibilities are endless." It's been used by many marketing firms about the possibilities that if you buy into their product or invest in what they are trying to sell, that there's no end to the possibilities for you and the blessings that you're going to receive from doing so. But in order for that to be true, you have to have willing participants, don't you? You can't just sit back and expect that it's just going to come freely to you. If you do nothing, you have to be willing participants. And sometimes you have to be willing to take a little bit of risk along the way in order to experience those possibilities and to find the blessings in them. And it's the same way in Christianity. When we talk about Jesus and his ministry, all the places that he went, Jesus was always challenging people. He was always commissioning them. He was always giving them work to do and giving them what we call missions projects. And we read about that here in our scripture today. In Christianity, there are certain responsibilities. Many people buy into the prosperity gospel that promises that if you accept Jesus, life's going to go great. He's going to bless you with abundance. You're going to be happy. You're going to find joy. And we know, for those that have accepted Christ, that it's sort of like a roller coaster ride, isn't it? And some people just expect to experience those blessings by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior and then sitting back and just saying, "Where are the blessings, Jesus? Where are the blessings that you promised?" But in Christianity, there are responsibilities. We call this responsible grace. The responsibilities in Christianity are not meant to make us feel guilty or frighten us or to make us feel like nothing. Those responsibilities are meant to help us to grow in our spiritual journey and to grow closer to Jesus, because like the children were saying this morning, when we trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, He'll guard our paths. He'll be a light to our path. And He'll protect us along the way. Jesus teaches this, these principles about this in the Bible. The Bible throughout teaches us about trusting in the Lord and about assuming those responsibilities that God lays out for human beings. And Jesus teaches about this to help us, because and oftentimes it is very, very challenging to us. This is what we call responsible grace. The Bible teaches that grace is free. It's a free gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But that is not the end. That is only the beginning, you see, of what the Lord asks us to do. We call the other grace that's taught oftentimes cheap grace, where all you have to do is accept Jesus and life's going to be a big bundle of roses. That's called cheap grace. So I want to start this morning something I'm going to be talking about for the next 2 weeks, about responsible grace, because I think this is one of the biggest challenges to Christianity in the 21st century, and I know it is personally for me, about being a responsible Christian. And what Jesus teaches here this morning is about the mission, the message, and the motivation for Christians. After this, it says, "The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and every place where he was about to go." Now, if you know the story up to here in Luke, Luke is telling us about Jesus now heading for Jerusalem. Okay, he's on his final voyage. He's heading south from the area in Galilee where he was teaching, heading for Jerusalem to be crucified. Okay, he had already sent out the 12, all right, the disciples, and they went out and came back. But now he sends out 72, some translations say 70, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to go to every town that he was coming to on the way and prepare them for his coming. But he told them something very interesting before they left. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. Now, what Jesus is essentially saying to them in our 21st century vocabulary would be, the possibilities are endless. The harvest is plentiful. It's there. There's so many possibilities out there. But the problem is, the workers are few. The harvesters are few. So the mission he gives them, first and foremost, to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. And then he says to them personally, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So first of all, he gives us the mission. It's to go as harvesters. What are we harvesting? We're going out into the world as missionaries. Whether you know it or not, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, you became a missionary. Maybe you didn't want to be that, but ultimately and biblically, you are a missionary. All right? So I can't do anything. We're going to learn that you can. That everyone is called to mission that follows Christ. He says, first and foremost, to those who say to me, when I say about our spiritual gifts and about doing things for the King and for the kingdom of God, and people say to me all the time, well, I don't think I really have gifts. Or, well, I really can't do this. I really can't do that. Or maybe I'm getting a little too old or this or that. Look at what Jesus says to them first and foremost to do. Pray. Pray. As long as we have breath, on our deathbeds we can pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers. It's simple, but yet for some folks it's so hard to understand that the biggest thing that we can do is first and foremost pray. Then secondly, he says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Okay? So, well, that sounds a little scary, and it is scary. It is scary. There's people out there in the world that are just waiting to eat you up. But that's not what's important, you see. So he says, don't take a purse or a bag or sandals. Don't greet anyone on the road. In other words, what he's saying is, don't try and prepare, because there's no way you can prepare for this mission. You have to trust in God the whole way, every step of the way along the way. And when he's talking about not greeting anyone on the road, he's talking about some of the customs that were in that day where you met someone on the road and you spent a lot of time greeting them and getting to know them and so on and so forth. A specific mission. He says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house, and if a man of peace is there, or in some translations, if a man that has peace is there, your peace will rest on him. In other words, if that person is receptive, your message, your peace that you're bringing into his home will rest there. If it doesn't, if he's rejecting you and resisting you, you're not going to lose that. You're going to use it again as you go along. He says, stay in that house eating and drinking. Don't move around from house to house. In other words, what he's saying is, don't get distracted and don't let them persuade you that your mission is not important, you see. And I'm going to get to the purpose of all that here in the end of Jesus' message. So first of all, he says, here's the mission. I want you to pray, and I want you to go out. And I want you to trust every step of the way in the Lord God. And first he says that when you enter a house. In other words, what he's saying is, take your faith. Take your faith to those people personally, one-on-one, in their houses, sharing your faith as missionaries, as harvesters, sharing it personally in their houses. Then secondly, take that message to the community, public, when you enter a town, and you're welcome. Eat what's set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Secondly, we see the message. People say, well, I don't know what to say when I go out. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do this missionary thing. What's our message? The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is available to everyone who will receive it. You see, our message isn't about us. It isn't about our church. It isn't about our community. It isn't about what we do. It's about Jesus Christ and God's grace given to us and the nearness and of the availability of that grace in Jesus Christ. So the mission is to go out. The message is to be taken or to be given personal and public wherever we go. in the houses and in the community and in the town. When you enter a town and you're not welcomed, go into the streets and say even the dust of your town is 6 to our feet, we wipe off against you. The dust of your streets we wipe off against you. You see, we're not going to be welcomed by everybody, are we? We're not going to be welcomed by everybody. And that's the hard part. We get rejected, so we lose momentum. And all of a sudden we start to say, well, maybe this isn't my cup of tea. Maybe I should just be sitting at home, or maybe I should be doing something else. But look what he says. Yet be sure of this. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God does not depend on your success in the community or in the homes when you're professing your faith personally or publicly. God has given us a message and a mission. We're not going to be welcomed by everyone. And the message isn't going to be accepted by everyone. But look what he says. I tell you, it'll be more bearable on that day for Sodom than that town that rejects you. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, what was going on, the sexual immorality, how God wiped the town out? Remember that story in the Old Testament? We're not going to be welcomed by everyone. Our message is not going to be accepted by everyone. But you see, the responsibility is on the receiver. You spread the message. You share your faith with others personally and publicly as God's missionary. And from there, they have a responsibility to receive that grace that you're sharing with them, that grace that you first and foremost received in Jesus Christ. You see the process in that? God pours His grace into you. You receive Jesus Christ. You go out and pour it into the next person. Some are going to reject. Some are going to receive it. You see, and he says, oh, woe to those people who don't receive that. Woe to them. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago. But it's going to be more bearable for them than for you. He says, he who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me, Almighty God. So the 72 went out, okay? And they returned with joy and said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. The mission was to go out person to person, personally, with the message, and publicly. And what happened? It worked. The demons submitted to them, and they came back, well, Lord, look what we did. Look what we did, Lord. And Jesus said, oh, no, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute here. You see, he warns them about the pride in the mission. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority even to trample on snakes and scorpions. Now, that doesn't mean we bring snakes into the church, handle and bring scorpions, and people walk around and not get bitten. That is a misinterpretation of the Scriptures. What he's saying is, I've given you authority over all these things. I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing's going to harm you. Look what he says. I have given you authority. And we have to understand that when we go out as God's missionaries, we're not going out under the authority of the church or the authority of the conference or the authority of the people in our congregation. We're going out under the authority of Jesus Christ. And when we go under the authority of Jesus Christ, folks, the possibilities are endless. We should not fear because Jesus is in charge of our lives. You see, we're the harvesters. In faith and in trust in the Lord, we go out and we tell others, the kingdom of heaven is available to you. How does that happen? It happens through Jesus Christ, like the drawbridge into the kingdom. We compare Jesus with the drawbridge. In order to get into the castle, into the presence of the king, you have to cross the drawbridge. Like in order to get into the presence of Almighty God for eternity, you have to accept Jesus Christ. See? And he was saying, you got a mission, you have a message, and you better watch out about your motivation. It's not about us at all. My authority to stand here on Sunday morning and expose God's Word and teach God's Word does not come from me. It does not come from the conference. It does not come from the congregation or the PPRC. My authority comes from God, because God's the one that's called me. And shaking knees and dry mouth and all, the Lord is the one who preaches every Sunday morning, you see. That's our mission. And that's our message. And the motivation, he says, don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, here's where I really have to put some emphasis on what Jesus is saying. The motivation for our mission and our ministry as followers of Jesus Christ is thanksgiving that our names are already written in the book of life. See, our names are already written in heaven. That's a done deal when you accept Jesus Christ. Your name gets written down as a follower of Jesus Christ and a child of God. The Gospel of John tells us that. We're given the right to become children of God through Jesus Christ. And our names are written down in heaven. God doesn't erase those names, folks. They're written there for all eternity. And when we stand at the gates, he looks and says, ah, yes, I see your name's here. Come on into the kingdom. Our mission and message should be out of thanksgiving to God, motivated by the joy that we already have a place secured for us in the kingdom of heaven. That should motivate us in thanksgiving and authority and boldness and courage to stand in the waiting line at the fast food restaurants, no matter where we are in our schools and our workplaces and our homes, to not be afraid to share the gospel with people. We're not going to be accepted by everybody. The message is not going to be accepted by everybody. But tough, right? We still have a mission to go forward. And a lot of people might be sitting here this morning thinking, well, boy, I feel pretty good about myself because I've done this and I've done this for the Lord, and I'm a harvester. I've gone out and I've told this person, I've told this person. Look what Jesus says. We need to be careful about that kind of thinking. True Christian discipleship and true Christian ministry and mission does not look back. It looks forward. When we start looking back at what we've done, we take our eyes off of what's before us. We lose focus. We lose direction. And when you're in a car, you know, we crash, right? Jesus gives us authority. We all have gifts because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The fun part is finding out what those gifts are. You see, and Jesus says, well, the harvest is plentiful, but the sad part is the workers are few. And in today's 21st century, we live in an age of, I don't know what to call it, maybe reverse enlightenment. In my personal opinion, spiritually, our culture is going backwards. There's all kinds of philosophies and religions and all kinds of theologies out there today to read about, to see on the television. Teachers in our universities teaching stuff that just simply is not true to young people who are devouring it like it's candy. So the mission is to go as harvesters, and message is to be personal and public, that the kingdom of heaven is available to all people, and the motivation is joy for our salvation. You know what that joy for our salvation is? It's our thanksgiving for God's grace that's been poured into us. God's gift of salvation comes by grace through faith. I want you to understand that. It's a gift of God. Paul told the Ephesians, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. It's not by works so that no one can... It's a gift. Grace is a gift to us, see. Our place in heaven is a gift to us by having faith in Jesus Christ. And the responsibility isn't to just sit around and let everybody else do the work. It's to get involved. First and foremost, to pray. And Jesus said the sad part is, even though the possibilities are endless, there are many who are not taking advantage of them. I want to ask for 10 people here this morning. Show of hands, how many 10 people that will pray for me this week? All right. I want to ask for 5 people who will make a call this week, not to a family member or someone that's a good friend, but to someone that you've not seen in church for a long time, or someone in the community that you know does not go to church. How about 5 people who will do that? Make a call. How about 5 people who will send a card to some of the saints? I'm noticing the hands are getting less and less. How about 2 people? 2 people that will visit our folks in the nursing home this week. And finally, 1 person. 1 person that next Sunday will come forward and preach for us and give a testimony of the relationship with Jesus Christ. The funny thing that I've experienced in ministry over the years when I read this scripture is exponentially, if you know what that word means, the greater the challenge in Christian mission, the fewer the harvesters or the workers. But the greater the challenge, the greater the blessing when we get involved. I'm telling you from experience, folks. It's beyond what I can explain to you here this morning. The blessing and the joy and the feeling that the Lord gives us. It's as if He's standing right in front of us saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now I want to ask a show of hands, how many believe this is the pastor's job? You see, grace has an element of responsibility. And Paul said to the Ephesians that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to think about that. God knew that you, whether you were going to accept Jesus or not before you were even born. And He created you new in Christ Jesus, as the scripture tells us. He who is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old's gone, the new's come. God created a new creation in Christ Jesus in you in order to do good works that He already prepared for you in advance to do. So when you reject those works, when you reject those challenges, and you reject being a missionary for the Lord, a harvester, you are literally rejecting God's grace in your life. And I don't think God's real happy when that happens. I know He isn't with me, because I've said no to the Lord a good many times. But as He continues to work and stir us and stir us and speak to us and call us, He never gives up on us. He continues to work until we submit and surrender. And when we do, wow, the possibilities are endless. It's a challenge to be a Christian. Jesus doesn't want us just sitting around waiting for the end to come. He wants us to be about the ministry. I want to ask you a question. What would happen if the farmer never planted his field? There sat all the equipment. He never planted his field. All right, what happened if he planted his field and he never harvested it? What a waste, right? What would happen if a farmer said, "Well, I can't do that. I can't plant my fields and harvest my fields because my tractor's red." Or, "I can't do that because my tractor's green. The guy over there, he's got a different colored tractor. I can't do that like he can because I don't have the same equipment." You know, it's silly to think that way. Because Jesus said, "I have given you authority." Folks, let's claim that authority. Let's boldly proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is available to everyone. We're not going to be accepted by everyone. The message isn't going to be received. But we keep looking forward. As Paul said, "I keep running the race, pressing forward for the crown in which the Lord has called me in heaven." Next week we're going to explore a biblical example of sharing our faith, because some people say to me, "Well, how do I do that? What's the first step I take in going to someone?" Next week we're going to learn about that. So I invite you back. to learn biblically from the Master, from Paul himself, how we can go about that. And in doing it, we'll see how the Holy Spirit worked greatly in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And he will in your ministry too. I can guarantee you, and the Bible tells us so. Let's pray. Lord our God, though we sometimes